Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I am joined today by fan-sided writer for the Bears, Ukshad Asad Koyol, correct? I already butchered your name, bro. I'm really sorry.
It's all good. What's up, guys? It's Usaid Koshal.
Usaid Koshal. Yeah, my apologies. I absolutely butchered that. We peeked behind the curtain. We did. I figured out his name right before. Usaid, yeah. Right? Yeah, Usaid. I figured out Usaid's name right before we started recording, and I had it down, and then I just completely biffed it. I totally choked under pressure. So my apologies, Usaid.
It's all good. I'm so excited to finally be on the End Zone Podcast, get this thing rolling. You know, Eric, and thanks so much for having me on.
Hey, yeah, no problem, man. We always love talking to new people, and you're a Bears writer for Fansided, so today we're kind of going to talk about the Bears. Kind of one of my big goals for July is try to get a lot of individual people onto the show to just talk about their team and what their teams have done in the offseason before we get to our division previews, so people can more familiarize themselves with all the teams that have and what they've done in this offseason that we've had this year. So obviously you're here to talk about the Bears. How'd you become a Bears fan?
All right, so yeah, funny story. I actually grew up in New York, about 20 minutes away from East Rutherford, New Jersey. So grew up watching the New York Giants Jets play. But I moved out to Chicago about 11 years ago, and I remember the first Bears game I ever watched was Sunday night. They were playing the Green Bay Packers in 2007, and from there on out, I know Musim Muhammad caught a pass, and I fell in love with the Bears right from that moment onwards.
Yeah, of course. That's a great story. So now two other questions for you that we ask all our new guests. Who's your favorite NFL player right now? They can be on the Bears, they cannot be on the Bears. And who's your favorite Bear of all time?
All right, so favorite Bear of all time, definitely Brian Urlacher. Urlacher brought something. You know, this generation, I think Urlacher really ended up changing the way that, you know, the middle linebacker position is played. And then favorite NFL player that's not on the Bears right now, I'm going to have to go with Le'Veon Bell. Like, Le'Veon, you know, no matter what he does, you can always count on him to, like, get things done for you during, you know, games and stuff.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, who is your favorite Bear right now? I guess I should ask.
So, favorite Bear right now, I think we're obviously going to discuss him later on in the show, so I'm not going to say much, but it's Jordan Howard.
Right. Yeah, so the Bears are an interesting team. Last year, of course, with John Fox, had some things go right for them. They had a pretty decent defense, but the offense was a John Fox offense. As a former Broncos fan, I know the detriments of that. So it's a very interesting offseason that the Bears have had. For those listeners who haven't been following the Bears offseason as closely, would you just explain to us what the Bears have kind of done this offseason?
Yeah, so you know, everything that the Bears have done this offseason, it's all revolved around the number two overall pick in the 2017 NFL draft, quarterback Mitchell Trubisky. They went out, they hired a young, innovative, offensive-minded coach in Matt Nagy. And then from there on out, you know, free agency, they signed Allen Robinson, big physical wide receiver. They signed speedy wide receiver Taylor Gabriel, you know. And then they signed Trey Burton as well, an up-and-coming emerging tight end that you're going to want to keep an eye on, honestly, if you're a real big fantasy football player. And then, you know, then just the way that they attacked the draft also was, you know, picked up Roquan Smith because they needed another inside linebacker in their 3-4 defense. Then they traded for wide receiver Anthony Miller, who's a borderline, you know, first-round talent, but he dropped all the way to the second round, which is really big for the Bears because Miller, some people say that he's basically like equivalent to Antonio Brown in the way that he runs his routes. And then also the Bears, they solidified their offensive line by picking up a 20-year-old from Iowa who's going to be playing guard, James Daniels. And the thing with Daniels is, like I just said, he's young. But, you know, they say that he was really one of the best, like, offensive line prospects in this class.
Yeah, the Bears, I think, have the best offseason in the division of teams that had great offseasons. I get that the Vikings got Kirk Cousins, but the Bears really improved at almost every facet of their position group. And I have a question that I didn't ask you in our documents here. A little question about a player last year who kind of made a name for himself, but faded throughout the year just a little bit, but had bits and pieces. Tariq Cohen, do you think he's going to have a bigger part in the offense this year?
Absolutely. Tariq Cohen, you know, he's definitely, to me, I actually wrote a piece on FanSided a few weeks back. I said Tariq Cohen could potentially be the next coming of Tyreek Hill. You know, he's already in OTAs and minicamps and stuff. Matt Nagy's already said that Cohen's going to be playing, like, every position in the offense. The thing with Cohen is this, is when I watched him last year, week 1 to week 17, I was impressed with what I saw, but because he definitely brings the speed, he can catch, you know, he can run if you need him to. He's your typical change of pace back. But the problem with Cohen last year was that he tried to essentially, like, do too much, and he relied on his, like, you know, his dance moves, if that's what you want to call it, more than, you know, vision or patience. And if he can learn to be, you know, use his vision more, if he can learn to be more patient, then you could really see Cohen be have a big 2018 season.
Yeah, speaking of Bears running backs, Jordan Howard, I'm a big fan of his, and he had such a great season last year, and I think that he's forgotten when people talk even about people. Obviously, it's all about currently, like, fantasy and how players do in fantasy. I think he's obviously an underrated fantasy player, but even above that, I think he's one of the most underrated running backs in the league, because when you talk about the top five running backs in the league, the names that come up are Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Alvin Kamara, and kind of left out of that, kind of on the fringe, is Jordan Howard. And I don't understand why, because for me, he's one of the top five backs in the NFL. Is he the most underrated back in the NFL
Absolutely.
Right now?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at what Howard's done since entering the NFL in 2016. And for our listeners, I'm going to go over that real quick. So last, you know, in 2016, he had, you know, started 12 games and then rushed for 1,300 yards. Then you look at 2017, where he started every game, you know, and last season he had about 1,100 yards, you know, 9 touchdowns. The thing is, Howard's really shown that he can carry the effective, or, you know, be a really effective workhorse running back. It's just he's got to improve on his catching. And the reason he's so underrated and doesn't get enough credit is because, you remember during his rookie year, Ezekiel Elliott took the league by storm and everyone was so focused on Zeke. Well, Howard was number 2 in the NFL in rushing, and he hasn't got enough credit because he's been a really good player that's just played on a really mediocre team.
Yeah. So what do you think, one of the parts about, and I know we're jumping around here a lot, but I think one of the parts that made Howard kind of invisible, and I brought this up to you on Twitter a few months ago when we first kind of came into acquaintance, and you kind of gave me a strong disagree, and I'd like to know why. I think one of the reasons that Jordan Howard is so overlooked is just because the Bears line was atrocious last year. They were one of the worst lines in the league. They were top 5 in sacks given up, and they weren't great at blocking for the run at times. Do you think that the offensive line was a huge problem last year?
Yeah, the offensive line, I don't think it was a huge problem. I just really think that it was inconsistent. And, you know, you had your two best players on the offensive line. So Kyle and Josh Sitton, obviously two good veterans. Sitton's now down in Miami playing for Adam Gase. But, you know, when you had Sitton and Long there, the offensive line looked like a well-oiled machine. You know, part of the reason for the inconsistent offensive line play last year was Cody Whitehair. You know, Whitehair had a huge – he had a really nice 2016 rookie season. And then 2017 expectations – I personally had Pro Bowl expectations for him. But he was, you know, from day one, he was inconsistent, which was obviously a little problem. You know, he got, you know, called for stuff like holding penalties. And then you look at the two tackles, Charles Leno Jr., the left tackle, and Bobby Massey, the right tackle. Leno Jr., you know, as well, was, like, on and off last year. It's like one play you could rely on him to stop someone like Clay Matthews, the next minute you can do so. And then same thing with Bobby Massey, where for him it was just getting held back by penalties. So the Bears offensive line last year, yes, they showed flashes, but they were inconsistent at times, and that obviously hurt the run game, because, you know, there was no lack of, like, you know, hey, what do we, you know, people, players just weren't, like, 100% up to speed sometimes of, hey, are we always going to run? What are we going to do, you know? And obviously a lot of that does have to fall on the coaching staff.
Right. Let's quickly talk about the coaching staff a little bit here. What do you think about the hire of Matt Nagy?
Yeah, I really like that hire, because if you look at what the Los Angeles Rams did in 2017, they had the same thing. They had a rookie quarterback there, and then a workhorse running back in Todd Gurley, and they bought on Sean McVay. And so, and you, everyone knows that Gurley was literally the feature man, or the feature back for the Rams offense last year, considering what he did, you know, late in the season up in Seattle. And so you look at Matt, you look at what the Bears did now, Ryan Pace, the GM. He's got a young quarterback, and he also knows he's got a very good running back in Jordan Howard. And so what does he do? He goes out and hires an offensive-minded guy in Matt Nagy, which I really think is going to work out, because Nagy comes from the Andy Reid coaching tree, which includes guys like Doug Peterson, Jim Harbaugh's also on there, Ron Rivera. You know, so you got a whole bunch of guys that have just, you know, played in Super Bowls. You know, obviously some have won Super Bowls for their team, some come up short, and now you add a, you know, you have Matt Nagy coming from that same tree, and it's, you know, really an awesome hire, I think, because you want to do everything you can to help Mitchell Trubisky succeed.
Yeah, so let's kind of talk about Mitchell Trubisky a little bit here. What did you see from him last year? Because I went back earlier this offseason. I had to do some writing for the site I write for, prosportsfandom.com, about fatal flaws for offseason darlings, and the Bears were one of those darlings. And kind of what I found from, I chose probably Trubisky's three best games, including the Packers game where he played against Brett Hundley, and the game against the Ravens last year. And I found two different sides of Mitchell Trubisky. Like, there's a side that is really athletic, shows flashes of, like, Aaron Rodgers-type talent. And then there's a side that sometimes gets really flustered in the pocket. What's kind of your analysis of what Mitchell Trubisky is right now?
So, you know, right now I'm really, really impressed with Mitchell Trubisky. I thought he did a great job last year of having to deal with a terrible coaching staff, and he just sort of held on, you know. Like you said, the athletic side of Trubisky, I mean, his legs, honestly, if you didn't notice Trubisky's legs last year, you got to go back and watch the game against the Detroit Lions at Soldier Field. It was 4th and 13 with, like, a minute 30 to go, and Trubisky honestly just, like, you know, scrambles and saves the Bears, only for them to lose the game because of Connor Barth, who's not on the team anymore. And, you know, I really did see a lot from Trubisky last year, the fact that he was just so calm, so composed, you know, sort of really processed quickly. I saw he really improved as the season went on. And so if you're a Bears fan, that's something to be really excited about going into the future, that Mitchell Trubisky, he's going to be a very good NFL quarterback. I'm telling you right now, next coming of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's kind of the reaction he evokes from Bears fans. So let me ask you an easy question first, and then a hard question. The easy question is this: why will Mitchell Trubisky get better and develop into a Jared Goff type kind of coming out season in his second year?
So Trubisky, I think he's going to be better because one of the offensive core around him, I mean, you look at what the Bears can do. They can basically play any type of, you know, football style that they want. You know, they got a big guy on the outside in Allen Robinson. They got a big guy in Adam Shaheen. You know, they got a big guy in Trey Burton and Anthony Miller. They can throw those big red zone threats at you. And then they can also decide to go small. And, you know, they can dish the ball to a speedy Tariq Cohen or Taylor Gabriel, for example. And then, you know, you've got other solid contributors like Deion Sims, a blocking tight end. And that's the reason I think Trubisky's going to get better, is because of the offensive core that's been placed around him. He can basically play however he wants to, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, here's the hard question. Why won't Mitchell Trubisky develop into that quarterback next year? What's holding him back?
I think what's holding him back is the lack of experience that he has. You know, keep in mind that this is someone that was at UNC for 3 seasons, but he only started 1 year. And even the 1 year he started, he went 8-5, had just 13 starts. And then you look at how that translated over into the NFL last season. Look, he did a lot of good things, but he's also showed that, hey, we need to improve. And I think that, you know, the consensus amongst Bears fans last year was that, oh, well, Trubisky's playing the way he's playing because he doesn't have, you know, good wide receivers around him. He had, you know, obviously, I understand the wide receiver situation for him wasn't the best, but he's a rookie quarterback, and he has to know, well, he's a rookie quarterback, he's got to know, well, look, I have to improve at a lot of things. Like, one of the things you needed to do was go ahead and learn to read more complex defenses, you know, pick up on different sub-packages that a experienced defensive coordinator may throw at you to sort of fluster you, because they're really trying to get inside the head of a rookie quarterback. Because the deal with the NFL is this: is once you get inside the head of a rookie quarterback in the NFL, you know, odds are that you basically like won your team the game right there.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And that kind of, that leads into kind of my next question, which is, I asked you kind of before this what you thought the Bears' biggest strength was, and you mentioned the receiving core. Talk to me a little bit about what you're most excited about for that receiving core, because that's such a crucial part in helping Mitchell Trubisky develop as a quarterback and keeping teams from rattling him so he doesn't develop
as well. So, you know, the receiving core, it's, you know, really interesting because it's been completely overhauled, you know, and I think that these guys, they're really going to help Mitchell Trubisky in the sense that you look at Allen Robinson, who I understand he hasn't had a 1,000-yard season since 2015. He came close to it in 2016 with about 800 yards. But, you know, I think that the receiving core is just going to help overall because he's going to be able to get the ball out quicker. I know Matt Nagy, for example, is designing a playbook where you can expect to see Trubisky in the shotgun 75% of the time. And then he's also going to have another, like, separate part in the playbook that's reserved specifically for Trubisky to run if no one downfield is open.
Wow. That's a lot of detailed information. Can I ask, just out of curiosity, this is aside from the Bears conversation, but how do you come upon that kind of information?
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm just always glued to my phone, you know, like I'll be at work or something and I'll be, you know, if I don't have anything to do, I've caught up on all my work and I'm waiting for, you know, like a customer to show up or something, because I do work in customer service. What ends up happening is I'll just go on my phone real quick and just be like, you know, on Twitter or Bleacher Report, just like always reading something. If I'm not on like CNN reading something on news, I'm almost always doing something related to sports.
Right. Well, that was a nice little break. That was the most awful transition in podcasting history. You see, I already forgot your name again. Usaid, right? Usaid, I'm really sorry. So peek behind the curtain. I really don't want to get your name wrong. So please understand. I am trying really hard not to butcher.
My name's been butchered so many times that when people butcher it now, I'm like, okay, I'll just correct you once. If you get it, that's great. If not, it's all right.
All right. So Sayed, what I was getting to was that was a nice, as pro podcasters, we always point out our mistakes as we say them. That is customary. This is very bad podcasting by me right now, but always a good time. Let's get back on track, though. I'm really sorry. Usaid, I'm gonna get that right at some point. Did I get it right that time?
Yeah, nice job.
Usaid, listen, I gotta write this down in our instant messaging client so I can like figure out how I want to pronounce it. Usaid. All right, there we go. So, yeah. So let's talk. Okay, this has kind of become, I guess, if you look at Bears Twitter or the media in general, or people who are Bears fans, or people looking to take digs at Bears fans, speaking of a receiving core, kind of a running bit over the years. But it's a serious question that I want to ask. Is this the year Kevin White's finally healthy?
You know, Kevin White, obviously, I think, is a bit of a debate around the Bears fan base. Personally, Matt Nagy said, I'm going to make him my, like, personal reclamation project. Like, White's going to be healthy. But, it's hard to say where White lies right now. Because the thing with White is this is former first-round pick, was drafted in 2015, number 7 overall, had injuries the first 2 years. And now you look at the offseason overhaul that the Bears have had in the passing game. And for me, it's hard to see Kevin White even on the opening day roster when they're playing Sunday night in Green Bay, week one. You know, I think I'm going to say, he's going to be healthy, but even then, you can't place full confidence in him and say he's going to be healthy for 16 games.
Yeah, it's a real shame because coming out of West Virginia, of course, he had all the hype around him, and it's a shame that that was just, it ended up being kind of a bust draft pick. But I generally agree. I think it's time for them to move on. Let's circle the conversation back here to Jordan.
Regarding the entire Kevin White situation, is they declined his 2019, his fifth-year option, meaning he's going to be a free agent after this season anyway. And the thing is this, is there's no guarantee that if he has a great season, there's no guarantee that he even returns to the Bears. Because the Bears, they're going to have, you know, other guys, other in-house signings like Adrian Amos, Eddie Goldman, that they're going to want to bring back. And they're probably not going to have enough money to pay Kevin White.
All right. So let me just ask you, let's circle back before we move on to the defensive side of the ball to Jordan Howard, which I think is a fascinating topic of discussion. Because for me, one of the biggest concerns I have with Jordan Howard, not only fantasy-wise, is I play fantasy, if you haven't figured that out yet. And just generally production-wise, is John Fox, obviously it's no secret that he's a run-first kind of guy, but they gave Jordan Howard a ton of touches last year. Are you at all worried that's going to affect him this year?
No, I think that, I think that's not going to affect him at all, if anything. I think that bringing in Matt Nagy is actually going to be really good for Jordan Howard because, number one, you're going to be able, Howard's going to improve his pass catching. The thing is, I've already heard from some folks, that write for other websites that, Nagy's helping Howard improve his pass catching. And another thing is, Nagy's going to mix the offense up for a guy like Howard, He's going to be the main, like I said earlier in the episode, he's going to be the main guy. And I think it's going to be very good for him because it's not just going to be, and for the offense in general, because it's not just going to be, okay, give the ball to Jordan Howard and go run pass. No, it's going to be mixed up now, which is going to allow Howard to get involved in the passing game, going to allow for him to run as well, And I really think that he's going to have that 2018 breakout year where we finally start talking about him as a top five running back.
And his stats are there over the past 2 years already, 1,122 yards last year, 1,300 313 the year before that. But for me, like, the touches do really worry me. He had 276 attempts last year. And if you put that side by side by kind of the guy who's the poster child for carrying the ball too much, which is Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell had 321 carries last year. That's only a 50 carry difference between two of those guys, and that still kind of 276 still puts him up there as one of kind of the most workload heavy backs in the league. So I don't know. I'm a little bit concerned about him producing this year, and I think that they need to get Mitchell Trubisky to start developing a passing game so that Jordan Howard can succeed.
Yeah, I definitely think that's another thing is, you know, running backs that can't catch, they don't have, like, you know, a permanent home in the NFL per se. Whereas, and that's the situation with Howard right now, is he needs, you know, if he doesn't go into 2018 with improved pass catching, then he's basically going to be like a one-dimension back. And if the Bears choose not to bring him back in 2020 once his contract is up, then you're going to see him catch on to some other team somewhere, and it'll probably end up being, like, you know, just a red zone back or whatever.
Right. So let's talk really quick about the other side of the ball now. And you are very excited about this Bears defense, and I think for good reason. They had a great year last year, but what really gets you going about this Bears defense?
So, you know, everyone wants to talk about the front seven, you know, and how well the front seven did last year. Key makes out 8.5 sacks. But, you know, I think really the biggest thing that Bears fans, or I think just goes unnoticed for NFL fans about this Bears defense in general, is the secondary. So you've got Kyle Fuller, Prince Amukamara as your cornerbacks. Then you've got Adrian Amos and Eddie Jackson. And that secondary last year, they only allowed one wide receiver to get 100-plus yards in a game. And even that was Antonio Brown in week 3 at home. And he didn't go off on his typical Antonio Brown performance of, like, 15 catches for, like, 145 yards and 3 touchdowns. No. What he did, he had 6 catches for 110 yards and 1 touchdown. And the fact that the Bears secondary limited just one wide receiver to, you know, having 100-plus yards is really, you know, that's something to really be excited about, because when you look at the level of wide receiver talent that they played last year, like Alshon Jeffrey, they played Julio Jones, they had to play Davante Adams as well. You know, a lot of big-name receivers that they played, but they all limited these guys, you know, to under 100 yards.
Yeah, I think I completely agree, and I'm glad you brought up Eddie Jackson, because I was a huge fan of him last year when I watched the tape. There's not a whole lot on the stat sheet that pops out for him, but if you think about it, a rookie nickelback who racked up 73 tackles in his rookie year and 2 interceptions, including a pick 6, that's incredibly impressive. And he's got, I think, one of the highest upsides in the league at that kind of nickel position.
Yeah, you know, he actually, just to correct you, Eric, Jackson's actually a free safety. And yeah, okay. And I like, but you know, you're right. The upside for him is definitely there, because I was actually watching, you know, Jackson was actually a regular starter in training camp last year. John Fox has said this is going to be the only rookie that's starting on our defense. And then you look, you know, he shows flashes, and then all of a sudden has a big breakout game. I know it was against the Carolina Panthers. I think that was week 7.
Yeah, that was the game. That was the one that really popped out.
Yeah, right. He had 2, you know, a fumble and an interception return for touchdowns. You know, he basically won the Bears that game. And, you know, what's so significant about Jackson is in 2016, his senior year at Alabama, he breaks his leg, I think, in mid-October, and he's out for the entire year. And so, you know, I was just looking at scouting reports that year and stuff from, like, bigger media, you know, NFL media scouts like Lance Zerlin. Some people had him going, you know, the 4th or 5th round. And, you know, that's where he did fall. He fell to the fourth round because of his broken legs. But you look at the talent he displayed. Jackson displayed first-round talent. I think if we were to go back right now and redraft the 2017 NFL draft, you could certainly make an argument for Eddie Jackson being, you know, taken in, like, the back half of the first round because he legitimately played like a first-round talent last year.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about Adrian Amos as well, the free safety for the Bears. He last year had some good tackling numbers, but tell me just a little bit more about him. What's the upside for him?
Yeah, so, you know, real quick, just a career recap of Amos. Fifth round pick in 2015. You know, he really struggled in 2015, 2016, and then come the 2017 season, some people were like, hey, is this guy just going to be a role player, special teams guy? Is he even going to make the roster? And then, obviously, you know, because the Bears had signed Quentin Demps in 2017, and, you know, as soon as Quentin Demps went out with a broken arm, the Bears, they plugged Adrian Amos in next to Eddie Jackson, and Amos from there basically just took off. You know, I believe he's still getting better going into his fourth season. Like, I know Pro Football Focus gave him a grade of 92 amongst, like, you know, 30-year players or something that are really emerging, and that was behind, I think, only Harrison Smith, you know, another Pro Bowl safety for the Minnesota Vikings. So I think that, you know, the potential, the sky's the limit for Amos right now.
Right, yeah. So, speaking of Quentin Demps, of course, he's coming back from that injury last year. What do you think, is he going to be the starter this year, or are they going to choose Eddie Jackson
over?
Well,
the Bears actually moved on from Demps in the offseason. They signed him to a three-year deal, but then as soon as Amos...
I apologize. I am getting some bad information from NFL.com.
Yeah, they, you know... Amos, they actually signed Amos because they weren't sure if, you know, Amos was going to, like, pan out. So in 2017, they signed Demps to a three-year deal worth $15 million. So he was going to make $5 million. But then as soon as Amos took off last year, after Demps broke his arm, they basically went ahead in the offseason and they cut most of their veterans. And Demps was one of the first cuts that they made. Yeah, so, you know, Quentin Demps, he's, as of right now, to my knowledge, a free agent. I don't think he's called on anywhere, and that's considering, you know, his age. He's 33, 34 years old, and then you've also got to keep in mind is that he was, you know, had a broken arm last season, and the thing with Demps was this is, even in his career, he really didn't bloom until his final season with the Houston Texans, where I think he ended up getting, like, 8 interceptions or something.
Yeah, no... I think that, obviously, that my information that I got from NFL.com was wrong. So let's just move on. But, yeah, the defense looks really exciting. What do you think about Roquan Smith, by the way?
You know, I'm so excited for Roquan Smith because this is someone that could play in a 3-4 or 4-3 defense. You know, he obviously flies from sideline to sideline making plays, and that's, you know, one of the things I think the Bears defense really lacked last year, especially from the front seven, was the speed. But now you add Roquan Smith to that, who's an electrifying rookie. This is someone that I think has the potential to be a game changer. You know, if you want to see someone that plays exactly like Roquan Smith, then I suggest looking, if you're a fan, I suggest looking at highlights or just tape of Atlanta Falcons linebacker Deion Jones or Jacksonville Jaguars linebacker Telvin Smith. You know, Roquan Smith is built so similarly to them. And, you know, people are talking right now about, oh, well, Roquan Smith is sort of undersized because he's like 6'1", I think 235. But keep in mind that when Vic Fangio was in San Francisco for 4 years, they had another Pro Bowl linebacker there by the name of Patrick Willis, who was also about 6'1", 240. So comparisons there between Willis and Smith are so similar in terms of the measurables. You know, it's going to be interesting to watch. And like I said, I'm personally so excited to watch him play.
Right. So let's move towards the end of this interview here by discussing kind of, I guess, one negative and then kind of talking about your expectations. What's your biggest concern for this team this upcoming year?
You know, my biggest concern for this Bears team is the health. Now, I understand, like, for example, Kyle Long, he's coming off a neck surgery. He's had multiple surgeries the last 2 to 3 years. And then you look at, you know, you just look at the team in general. In 2016, they were hit by 21 injuries, which was most in the NFL. 2017 wasn't that much of an injury year, but guys like Leonard Floyd, you know, key pieces, they were obviously in and out of the lineup. And so I think that's a big concern right now, is can this team stay healthy and put it all together? Even the Bears' best offensive player, Allen Robinson, he only played one play last year, and he's coming off a torn ACL, which is somewhat of a red flag, because, you know, we've seen guys that tear their ACLs, and then when they come back, they're never really the same again.
Yeah, that is definitely a concern with this team. Under weaknesses, I was reading in some of your responses to some of my questions, you're a little bit concerned about Allen Robinson. Of course, he's obviously coming off that injury, but do you think that he's going to have success in this offense?
Yeah, you know, I think he will, because you're going to have, you know, first off, he's big and physical. I think he's like 6'3", 215. And the thing with Robinson is that he had, I think, 14 touchdowns in 2015 and over 1,000 receiving yards. And I see no reason for him to not be able to go back and to, you know, duplicate that. You know, it's going to be awesome to see Robinson, because that finally gives Trubisky the big physical red zone target that he's looking for.
Yeah, of course. And then, so the final kind of Bears question I have here is, what expectations should Bears fans have this year, kind of coming into the year? And then for you, what do you think the floor of this team is, and what do you think the ceiling is?
So I'll start with the floor and ceiling. You know, I think if everything goes well, you know, defense plays even better than it did last year and is a top 10 unit, then, because they were a top 10 unit last year, I think if they're a top 10 unit again this year and the offense really gels together, then this is a team that can win 10 or 11 games and honestly, in a deep and loaded NFC, contend for a wild card spot, you know? The floor for this team, I think, young team that's still learning, I think that, you know, it's 7 or 8 games.
Right. So what do you think the expectation should be that Bears fans have?
You know, if you're a Bears fan, I think reasonable expectations are you can expect this team to be in the range of a 7-10 win team, considering some of the teams that they play, some of the talent, individual superstars they have to go up against. You know, that obviously those guys are game changers themselves. But, you know, fair expectations for this team is expect to see a team that, if all goes well, scores a lot of points, and then a defense that's even hungrier and more motivated to prove the entire NFL wrong.
All right. Final question. Would you like to ask me a question?
Nah, I mean, you know, who's your favorite, like, NFL player that's not on your team?
I'd have to say, you're going to hate me for this, but Aaron Rodgers. I think he is at the point in, like, I get it. Tom Brady is always going to be the greatest of all time, and I'll never debate that he isn't. But I think that the greatest quarterback of all time is Aaron Rodgers. I think that no one can match his physical skill. If you could give me the skill level and talent and attributes of an NFL quarterback, I'd take Aaron Rodgers over everyone else. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Rodgers, obviously being a Bears fan, I can't like him, but I really respect the way that he plays the game and stuff. You know, he's definitely, you know, one of the best quarterbacks of this generation, in a generation that's included guys like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, you know, Brett Favre, obviously.
Let me ask you this question. With all the moves and all the, obviously there have been coaching changes, the NFC North has really, the landscape of it has changed a lot this offseason. Have the wins shifted? Are the Packers still kind of a prohibitive favorites to win this division still, in your opinion?
You know, I don't think I'm going to have to say no to that. And the reason being is this, because you have the Minnesota Vikings that have arguably the most complete defense or one of the most complete defenses in the NFL. And now you look at things, their offensive coordinator is John DeFilippo, who was the Eagles' offensive coordinator last year. You know, so you're going to have...
Yeah,
you know, and then you look at Minnesota on the offense, they're getting a whole bunch of explosive pieces back. Right. You know, Adam Thielen's coming back. Stephon Diggs is. Those still two pretty young guys.
Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook's coming back. You know, they got Latavius Murray and Kyle Rudolph.
Big one.
You know, and then you look at the Detroit Lions, who they have good wide receivers and Marvin Jones, Golden Tate. Matt Stafford obviously is on the brink of becoming a top 10 quarterback, in my opinion.
Oh, I think he's already there. I think I think last year was the year that he cemented himself as a top 10 quarterback.
I mean, my reason for putting Stafford as a borderline top 10 quarterback is that he just hasn't won, like, enough elite games, you know? Like, those big-time games, and I think, you know, I think the 2016 season, it's Week 17 Sunday Night Football. It's the Packers and Lions. Division title's on the line. And, you know, unfortunately, Stafford had an opportunity to get it done, and he didn't get it done. If you want to put Matt Stafford in that, like, hey, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, then he's got to be able to win those types of games. And then, you know, moving on now, let's get back to the NFC North.
Right.
So, obviously, the Packers, they got a new general manager this offseason in Brian Gutekunst. They were not the traditional offseason Packers we know them to be. Obviously, they drafted, you know, some really nice young talent, Jerry Alexander, Josh Jackson, two first-round talents that they got, you know, at separate parts in the draft. You know, but I look at this Packers team and I say, hey, the only thing, then, you know, they have, so I look at this Packers team, let me take a step back, and I look at the offense first off. They got Davante Adams and Randall Cobb. Moving on from Jordy Nelson was somewhat of a questionable move, in my opinion. The reason being is because Rodgers and Nelson, they had this, you know, chemistry where it looked like they were literally inside each other's minds. Like, right. Every time Rodgers was in trouble, who was there to bail him out? Jordy Nelson, because Nelson knew exactly what to do.
Absolutely.
You know, and then you look at the offense in Green Bay, the running backs, they cycled through three or four running backs last year. Mike McCarthy says he's going to take a somewhat of a committee approach this year, which also to me is, well, you're going to have guys in and out of the lineup, so how do you exactly balance that? And then the big thing for the Packers this year, the biggest strength on their offense, is not going to be quarterback, it's going to be tight end, because they now have three big guys in Jimmy Graham, Mercedes Lewis, and Lance Kendricks there, you know? Graham's obviously going to be the big red zone threat, but the Packers, they showed this past offseason that they're done with just drafting players. They want to be aggressive in free agency. Now, you look at the defense in Green Bay. Interesting fact I found, Clay Matthews, I think, only has two sacks against the Bears in 10 games. You know, Clay Matthews, obviously, he's the best player that the Packers have on defense. The front seven in Green Bay has been somewhat inconsistent, you know, with guys like Mike Daniels, Montrevious Adams. Nick Perry, obviously, has been injured. You know, what Green Bay needs to do is get more out of its secondary, and that starts with Kevin King, Clinton Dix, Josh Jones, Josh Jackson, you know, all stepping up and playing to the, you know, early rounds, the rounds that they were drafted in. And it's really going to be interesting, the North as a division overall, to see going in 2018, because I think this is going to be one of the toughest divisions in football for the next, you know, 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, I cannot argue with that. Usei, thank you very much for joining this podcast. I think you talked way more than I did, which is great, because obviously it's great to get to sit back and let someone else spew their football knowledge all over the place. I hope that I came prepared enough to, I know I made some rookie mistakes misquoting positions, but I do watch the NFL, I promise. You danced circles around me today, so I appreciate that. You showed me up. We may be hesitant inviting you back. No, I'm just kidding. But It was a great time interviewing you, man. Why don't you plug yourself? Where can people find more of your work? Where should people follow you for, obviously, your awesome analysis?
So, yeah, the best way to reach me, because my DMs are open, guys. I'm always open to talking Twitter on football. So my Twitter handle is actually real simple. It's my first and last name. It's at Usaid Koshal. You know I write for FanSided as well, you guys, Bear Goggles On. But then I also do two other websites. I'm a lead NFL writer for SnackTimeFantasy.com. We're a growing, budding website that's only 3 years old. So you'll obviously, for your fantasy dilemmas, you'll want to give us at SnackTime Fantasy, check us out. And then also, I write for Full Press Coverage. I am a Bears writer there and also an NFL draft analyst.
All right. Well, Usaid, let me just thank you again for coming on the show, and I hope to have you back at some point this season. I'd love to do like a week recap or preview like we do on this show during the regular season with you at some point.
Yeah, you know, just want to say, Eric, thanks so much for letting me come on your show and talk Bears. And honestly, if you know, I'm always down to talk football, the NFL. So, you know, I really look forward to having more, you know, appearances on your show in the future, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely, man. All right, guys. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric18Utah. And you can follow Usaid on Twitter at UkshalKoyad. Is that correct?
It's Usaid Koshal.
Usaid Koshal. Would you mind spelling that for people just so they can find it more easily?
Yeah, so it's Usaid Koshal.
Awesome. Thank you very much, man. All right, guys. We will be back most likely next week. Maybe later this week. Don't know quite yet, though, but definitely next week. Have a great week, guys, and thank you for listening. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.